Podcast. Oh, wait a minute. Has it been introduced already?
No. I just started it out with this intro music that I've been listening to all day.
Well, Yes,
well,
I'm here at a friend's house, smoking it out, so that he'll smell thoroughly smoked when he gets up home.
Talking about Ben's.
Well, yeah, I'm trying to leave names out of it.
Benjamin Franklin.
Yes, yes, yes. Mr. Franklin.
Mr. Franklin Roosevelt.
Yes. Oh, my. Yes. Yeah, it's supposed to get freezing again tonight, so I'm trying to light his fire again. And I thought maybe his chimney was stuffed with something, so I went out and checked it. And, well, it wasn't, but the wind had blown it, so there's a weird angle. I don't think that was the cause of the problem, though. I think it's because I tried to use too much paper to get the fire going. And I may have clogged the airflow.
What did you do that for?
Well, because I was trying to get the fire going quickly so that I could be back in Stockton in time for this podcast.
Ah.
I'm still here.
Well, at least you got better signal there than I do.
What's tonight's subject?
Religion.
Oh, my.
Well, I'm not a big fan of the Baptist and the Presbyterian religion / church, but this one audio that I have, actually I've got like 3 or 4 audios by the guy, but his name is Dean Sheriff, and I think his website is Dean Sheriff Ministries, and he's out of Durant, Oklahoma. I really like his programs. I really like his preaching and teaching. So he would be the exception to the rule as far as that goes. I may not agree with everything he says, but I really like his messages. So I'll put that out there.
You mean to say, despite the fact that he's Baptist or something like that, he still says something that makes sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you know, he actually gets ridiculed by different people in the community because he preaches the truth, not what people want to hear. So that's another bonus, I guess. But, I don't know. I just like his stuff. So somebody worth looking into. Put a plug out there for him. When we get our little free library, I'd like to get his CD packs and put it in our little free library to let people come and grab.
Right. You might be able to get him to mail you samplers to do that with.
Oh, yeah, they do that all the time.
Yeah.
A lot of
doing with
churches who do tracks and stuff like that, they have a budget just for that.
Yeah, just tell him what you're doing with it, and I'm sure he'll be glad to distribute it. Does he have a website?
Yeah, let me Google it. It's Dean Sheriff Ministries, if I remember correctly.
Okay. I didn't hear you clearly, so I'm not sure anybody else did either. Did you say Deep Truth Ministries?
No, Dean Sheriff.
Dean Sheriff. Wow, I heard that completely wrong. Okay.
Yeah, it's dsheriff.org. D as in Delta. Sheriff.
D as in
Delta.org.
Oh, okay. So it's just the initial D.
Correct. Their website changed. It's been a while since I've been here, but here we go. CDs and DVDs. They have where you can download them from the website. And we have a new caller.
Welcome, caller.
Hi, this is Jean.
I thought that might be you.
Hi, Kano.
Hello. I'm on the website, so I get to see the caller ID of who calls. So, I
how do you know?
Recognize the number. Big Brother's watching you.
Really?
Anyway.
I better hide.
Oh, you can't hide from Big Brother? Don't you know that?
I could try. I don't think it'd work, though.
Well, let's see now. Do you have a cell phone? Do you have a house phone?
Yeah.
Either way, he knows where you're at.
I'm deleting you.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. So, welcome to the D&D podcast. Demented Dungeons and Dragons.
Demented Dungeons and Dragons.
Well, we talk about everything except for Dragons.
Well, now that Jeannie called in, it's going to be a laughing podcast.
Well, there's the demented part.
Yeah. It reminds me of that song. Remember that Dr. Demento song where everybody's trying to play music and they're laughing?
Oh.
Yeah.
That woman cracked me up, OMG. Man alive. That's like one of my favorites. It's hilarious.
I didn't think you were old enough to listen to Dr. Demento.
Yeah.
Isn't there an age restriction on that show?
Yeah, I'm still a toddler, aren't I?
He's still wearing diapers. Oh, shit, I better not go there.
Yeah. Well, one where the guy was, oh, never mind.
Maybe I shouldn't have called.
I think Demento had a song he played where there's a kid hiding underneath the table, and he wasn't really a kid. He was like 35, 40, something like that.
Oh, goodness.
So what are we talking about tonight? Well, what are you guys talking about tonight? I was just on listen.
Well, we were
I was
supposed
thinking,
to be
maybe
talking
if I put this on mute, no one would know I was here.
Oh, we heard you, though.
It dings when you begin.
Honey, give you away.
What?
Oh, goodness. Yeah, there's a ding whenever someone dings in. It dings in.
Yeah, whenever some ding-a-ling calls in, we hear a ding.
Oh. One ding-a-ling, two ding-a-ling.
Hey, that's all right. Every night we're the first two ding-a-lings to call in.
Oh, shoot. Oh, goodness. That's why we call ourselves Demented Dungeons and Dragons.
Ding-dong-dilly.
Oh, I'm crying. Oh, my goodness.
Oh. That bad, huh?
Yeah. Oh.
Got to wipe your tears away.
Do it.
So, can
do we have
so under this state, can you explain the
do
okay.
It.
Regrouping. What, David?
Under this state, can you explain what Dean Sheriff last talked about?
Oh, well.
Or have you
no,
completely lost
I mean,
it?
Yeah. I've been gone for a long time. But anyways. Oh, man. Yeah, no, parenting. I've got like four of his programs. One's on Revelation. The one I was listening to today is on parenting. And then there's one on relationships, which is probably one of my favorites because that's one of my favorite topics. But I'm looking at the website, and let's see here. He has one. I mean, you can download them straight off the website. But we're talking about Dean Sheriff. And he has a lot of good audio programs that you can listen to. I picked him up in a truck stop. His program's in a truck stop down who knows where. I mean, they're all over the place because people collect the audio tracks and they move them around the truck stop. And one of the first ones I got was on marriage or relationships. I can't remember which one, but he's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 programs on marriage and relationships. So I got one of them, and that's one of the first ones that I got from him. That one in Revelation. But the one I was listening to today was on parenting, which is always, you know, important as well. But, yeah, you can find him at D, as in Delta, sheriff.org, or just Google Dean Sheriff Ministries, and it'll come up. Oh, I'm sorry, it's not Dean, it's Dwayne. D-U-A-N-E.
Dwayne.
Yeah. He's pretty cool.
There's a big difference between Dwayne and Dwayne.
No, Dean and Dwayne. But anyways, yeah.
Not Dean, Dwayne.
Dwayne Sheriff. I don't know why I always called him Dean. I just always did that for some reason. But his church is called Victory Life Church. And I'm not exactly not sure exactly what denomination it is, but I think they're Presbyterian or something like that. And I'm not normally a fan of Presbyterian or Baptist churches, but
you say that like they're related in some way. Is there some connection between the two that you've put together?
They seem to be the most radical, you know? They're just like out there in left field.
Oh, well, that sounds like it's right up our alley.
Well, no, they're typically, yeah, right? No, they're typically, everybody's going to hell type of church.
Oh, no. They love me. Let's see now, what was that? Oh, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. I think I got that memorized right. I have to go double check. But, you know, basically, that's saying that God intends to save everybody. Well, if God
right.
intends to do a thing, God be pretty sure it's going to be done. So who's going to hell?
Yeah, hell, fire, brimstone. Well, if he intends to save us all, then nobody's going to hell.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So.
Very few.
Except for me.
You'll be an awful lonely person in hell. They talk
yeah.
about hell being crowded, but, you know, maybe not.
Well, some people believe that we're already there.
That'd be me.
Yeah.
Yep. That'd be me. I believe this is hell. I believe it has the potential of being heaven, but it's up to us to make it that.
We're all going to hell in a handbasket.
No, we've already gone to hell in a handbasket. We've gone already. We've floated down that river.
It's got to be better. It's got to be uphill.
We're shooting those rapids as we speak right now. And the funny thing is, the smooth water is just right over there, and we want to stick over here in the rough stuff with the rocks and the no paddle and the broken canoe and, you know.
A hole in a canoe and no paddle.
Some famous person did a description of both hell and heaven. See, in hell, there is these people sitting at this banquet table with all this beautiful, delicious food in front of them, right? And they're all grumbling and complaining because they can't eat because they have these really, really long spoons and forks tied to their hands. They're like 4 feet long, all right?
Oh, crud.
And they can't feed themselves because the utensils are too long. Well, the utensils too so long that they can't, you know, they can stab the food, but they can't bring it to their mouth, right? So they can't feed themselves. So they're grumbling and complaining. Well, head over to heaven. Same image, same banquet table, same everybody got forks and you know their fork and their spoon attached to their hands, and they can't feed themselves either. But they're all happy and cheerful. Do you know why?
Because they're feeding each other.
Because they're feeding each other. Now, if you can remember who drew that picture in the first place.
No, but, I mean, that seems to be the logical conclusion.
Yeah. Yeah. So that, you know, they're out in heaven, they're all serving each other, and they're happy.
Mm-hmm.
And in hell,
right,
they're all out from themselves, and they're unhappy because they can't meet their own needs.
Wow.
So that's why I say we're in hell. We're in hell, and it has potential being heaven. We can make it heaven, but, you know, it'll require effort on our part to do so. Namely, reach out and help somebody.
Help everybody, and everybody helps everybody. Everybody's helping everybody, and everybody's being helped.
There you go. All right.
Bada boom, bada bing.
Too many people out for themselves anymore.
Yeah.
So back to Dwayne Sheriff.
Dwayne.
How's his teaching, Dwayne?
Yes.
How is his teachings different than the Helen Brimstone and?
Well, he does do some Hellfire and Brimstone, but he's not as bad about it. I don't agree with everything he says, but I agree with a lot of it, and I like the way he... What the heck? Oh. Okay.
Hey, there's children present. Watch your mouth.
I said heck.
Yeah, okay, don't close your ears.
Oh, okay. That's right. I'm still in diapers.
Good. Pick on Kano tonight.
Pick on Kano tonight. I can live with that. Maybe. Oh. Okay, so what topic do you want to talk about, Jeannie?
I don't know. I just was eavesdropping.
Oh, you just wanted to listen.
I just wanted to listen.
Look, but don't touch.
You know, I'm kind of shy.
No touchy.
Well, our podcasts have been kind of boring because it's been just David and I for a while.
Yes.
Oh.
See, we already know what we're going to talk about.
Yeah, we talk about it every day.
We don't know what you're going to talk about.
Or laugh about. I know, we know she's going to laugh about everything.
I do. I like to be happy. I don't like to be sad.
Yeah. I can be too serious.
Woohoo, I finally got this fire going.
You got the fire going?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Burning down a building.
I know where there's one you can burn down.
Yeah, right.
I'm house sitting. People actually
yeah.
trust this homeless guy with house sitting.
I take it that's a bad thing.
I guess they figure he doesn't want to live in a house, so there's no way he's going to steal one.
Right.
So.
And my arch nemesis down there says that David's such a horrible, evil criminal. Yet all these people are asking him to farm sit and house sit for him. If he was an evil criminal, why would everybody, not everybody, but why would so many people in the community be, trusting him with their precious stuff?
Right? Yeah.
Dude, he's got a key to just about everything I own.
It's all part of my evil plan.
Evil plan.
I'll be good to everybody else, but I'm after Jeff Dietrich's goods.
Right.
Which would be pretty slim pickings, but, you know, we don't have to discuss that.
True that. So, welcome to hell.
Yeah.
So, let's talk about something serious, like the Anunnaki or something like that.
About what?
Oh, the
Anunnaki.
They're the ones who supposedly created us.
Or, more accurately, recreated us from something that was already here.
Yeah. Okay,
yeah.
So we can talk about that.
That's Zachariah Sitchin's theory. And having gotten my hands on some of the ancient texts that he refers to and gotten translations of them, he's fairly accurate on that. You know, the ancient Mesopotamians and Akkadians, they pretty well flat out say that everything in civilization, everything good about civilization, came from the Anunnaki, that man invented nothing on his own. So, now, granted, 16th century man getting a hold of these ancient documents, they translated that word Anunnaki to mean God, but what it literally means is those who came down from the sky to Earth, or, you know. So, basically, we're talking aliens came down and modified a bunch of apes.
So, who knows? Maybe we did evolve from apes, but not naturally.
Yeah, not directly. Yeah, not by that theory, at least. You know. Yeah.
So, instead of God taking a rib from Adam, they took took DNA from the primitive beings that were here before and modified them with their own DNA to make them their public servants.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can even find on Genesis where it says, let us recreate man in our image. There's ancient Mesopotamian text where Enlil, Enki, Inu, or something like that. Anyway, she's often referred to as Ishtar. Anyway, this group of gods got together and they said, let us remake man in our image. Almost the exact same words as you find in Scripture, except instead of it saying Elohim said this to himself, it's those group of beings talking about remaking us. And actually, if you go through their stuff, it's kind of interesting that what they describe fits very well with what genetic engineering scientists do today, right down to using ceramics in order to work with the DNA. Something about the way DNA works, it tends to cling to ceramics and makes it easier to manipulate. So
That's why they don't want, that's why cloning is illegal, because they don't want us to catch on to the fact that maybe we were originally cloned in the first place.
Oh, well, shoot, yeah. If we start sequencing our own genes and looking at it and finding out, hey, wait a minute, there's some words in those weird non-genetically coded areas. Somebody wrote a book there.
Well, that'd be trippy.
Well, we do have large sections of DNA that don't seem to do anything. Now, it could be that they're bits of DNA that haven't been turned on because the circumstances aren't right, or, you know, it was something specifically encoded with some information, you know, who knows? The only way to find out is to experiment and look at it, you know.
Right, kind of so, like Orphan Black.
Yeah. Here's a scary thing for you. It only takes a couple thousand dollars to put together your own genetic manipulation, you know, your own genetics lab, where you can sequence and yeah. So it doesn't cost very much to do that. You know, it's just.
She's like, where do I get one?
Where do I get one?
Yeah, well, there's this wonderful magazine called Make Magazine that shows you how to make your own homemade I don't know what to call it, but you can read the genetic sequence using it. Yeah, it's kind of tedious and time consuming the way they showed it, but it's. Well, you remember as a kid you took science class and they put some, they'd give you some ink and you'd put on some water paper and then put the end of the water paper in water and the water would seep up the cloth and the ink would be spread out across the cloth and you'd see all the different colors of ink separate out from each other. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that's basically what they showed you how to do with genetic material. And you do that enough times and you can pretty well determine what the genetic sequence of any given thing is. All right, now it takes a lot of time and effort, but you know, at least then you have that data. You know, and if you have that data, then you can turn around and with a sequencer go backwards and write it out. And then insert that into some cell, like a nice giant one, you know, a chicken egg. You know, it's just a giant cell. You know, knock out its genetic code and insert whatever you want and see what develops. You know.
Make a marshmallow egg.
A marshmallow egg. Yeah, if you can extract the genetic code of a marshmallow, you might be able to do that.
Cool. I want to make peanut butter marshmallow chocolate peanut butter marshmallow egg.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe
somehow
people were really created by aliens. And every once in a while, they come down and they pick up people and take the genetics and see how everything's changing. Maybe that's, you hear of that.
People, well, yeah, I mean, maybe we're property, you know. Now, I'm rebellious property if that's the case because, you know. Granted, they might not care if I'm rebellious or not, but, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, they just come down and beam you up, Scotty. They know where you are.
Yeah, I'll be like one of my goats. I'll kick and scream and beller, you know, if you come and get me. But...
That was pretty good. Do that again.
David calls me the goat whisperer.
The goat whisperer.
Yeah, they tend to listen to me more than they listen to him.
That's because you're not around to get angry at them. You don't see them when they're dancing on top of your truck.
Oh, yeah, I'd shoot them.
Yeah, I get mad at them, and then it's a week before they'll listen to me again. You know?
No, they'll listen to me because they'll be goat meat. I'll be like, who's going to be my dinner tonight? They'll jump off.
Yeah. Hold on.
Yeah, but you won't clean it.
No, that's what David's for.
That's what David's
for. Yeah, that's what I'm for.
Come clean this goat. I shot it. It was on my truck.
No, that's right.
Put it on a barbecue grill. We'll smoke it.
C-A-R-T-Y.
I've never tried goat meat, but I'd try it.
Oh, good. Where are you from?
Huh?
What part of the country are you from?
Missouri.
Missouri, oh, okay.
I was actually born in Springfield.
That's all right. I didn't want exact details because, you know, 10 years from now, somebody might be listening to the podcast, the archive, and they have all your personal data if you tell us everything.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, when we become nationally syndicated, people will be collecting these early garbage podcasts that we're doing.
Oh, people might love them. Especially the last one we did. Just half the podcast was dead air.
It was dead air.
Yes. He did the Ron Paul thing, and I muted so I wouldn't make any noise over it, right? Uh-huh. And then he, then after the podcast, he started asking me questions, and you could see I was still on the line, but he couldn't hear me. And so he was freaking out. He thought his microphone wasn't working or his headphones weren't working or something.
Yeah, I thought my phone wasn't working. So I did like a shutdown and restart on my system twice.
Right. So,
it still wasn't working.
So I went into my monologue and, you know, I did my monologue for about 10, 15 minutes while he was shutting down and restarting. And all this time, my mic was still on mute. I'd forgotten to unmute myself.
So there was no monologue because nobody could hear David. It was our worst podcast ever.
Hold on.
Nah.
Nah.
Daddy!
Why did someone come on right now? What the hell?
I've got a couple of real goats staring at me. I'm trying to get them to say something, but they won't respond. They seem to like your bang, though. They look right at the phone whenever you do it.
My what?
When you go, meh, they look right at the phone.
Oh. Yeah, the goat whisperer.
There you go. All right, I give up because they're not responding to me. So. Yeah, they got Benjamin. Oops, I said it again.
Franklin.
Yes. They got Franklin's stove going.
He's at Franklin Roosevelt's house.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, Franklin Roosevelt's letting him house at his house.
Well, see, these are all people that we really know, and so we can't really give their real names.
Yeah.
I know.
So you give fictitious names.
Yeah. So, yeah, we don't really know whether or not we were created by Anunnaki or that we were whatever, you know. It's just, it's kind of a theory, but there seems to be more evidence to the fact that we were created by aliens versus a deity. But there still is evidence pointing to the fact that there is a deity.
Well,
you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you go through the Akkadian records, what they wrote, the ancient Mesopotamians and the ancient Sumerians, they record the fact that these beings that came down out of the sky and taught them so much. Because, you know, you got to look at it. I mean, in school they taught us that, well, first man discovered fire, and then eventually he discovered the wheel, and then eventually he discovered brass, and a long time later he discovered iron. Well, if you look at the actual record, about 10,000 years ago, we discovered all those things at once, practically the same year.
Right, because we were taught.
Yeah, we were taught. It's like, you know, it's like overnight. You know, we're out foraging in the woods and basically no better than any of the other animals. The next thing you know, we're smelting swords out of iron.
I think I'd rather go back to being an animal.
Well, I'd kind of go for halfway of both. Yeah, you'd rather be a walking, talking sponge. I know you.
Walking, oh yeah, SpongeBob.
SpongeBob.
Hi, I'm SpongeBob SquarePants.
Okay.
I don't know, you might not want to become an animal.
Animal.
Actually, it's a pretty major legal defense to point out that you're not an animal, because a lot of the laws that they've written lately go back to the Food and Drug and stuff like that, where they refer to you as a man and other animals.
You and me, baby, ain't nothing but mammals.
Okay. All right. So, I mean, you know, if your religion doesn't accept that man's an animal, and you're talking about man and other animals, well, would you say rocks and other animals?
Rocks and other animals.
Yeah, rocks and other animals, because rocks aren't animals. So that phrase wouldn't make any sense. So the only way that phrase could make sense, if you're saying man and other animals, is if man was an animal. But if your religious conviction was that you're not an animal, that you're a being made in God's image, well, then their law obviously doesn't apply to you. That or they're practicing religious persecution.
But wait a minute. If that's not the truth, why are we going to use a lie for our political means?
Well, actually, I don't see it as a lie, because my carcass may be animal in origin, but that which is me comes from God.
Right, your spirit.
Right. That which is me is made in God's image. That which makes me a man, as opposed to an animal, comes directly from God. So I'm not a man or other animal. I'm a man made in God's image. And I tend to believe that everybody I talk to are men and women made in God's image. You know, we're all children of our Father. So in that respect, I think that holds up. So. You might be able to say that, well, yeah, the creature that you currently are inhabiting may have evolved or may even have been created. Who knows, you know? But that's kind of your story, Orphan Black. I mean, that was kind of the crux of that story. They were copyrighted material. Their bodies were, at least. But, I mean, all these girls who were genetically identical were very, very different personalities, each and every one of them. You know, they were obviously, you know, not the same, even though they all looked alike.
Right, they all had the same DNA, but they had different spirits.
Yeah. So, okay, I put a silencer on that one, didn't I?
Sandwich.
How did you kill a conversation? Say what?
How to kill a conversation. Well, I've been kind of brain dead the last couple of days anyway, so... Yeah, there's so many different religion. It's such a vast and controversial subject. You can go anywhere, you know, with this topic, but we killed
We were discussing. Yeah, we were discussing earlier the four major topics we talk about, and we were talking about doing them once a week, and so this week is religion. And my question was, well, what's the difference between that and the other three conversations?
Well, yeah, off-gridding, health and nutrition, and in politics, pretty much your religion is what you believe in. What you practice, what you do.
Right.
You know, so, you know, it's kind of like the Bible says faith without works is nothing. You know, it's like if you believe in something, you're going to do it. And your
right.
faith is shown through your works.
Yeah, 200 years ago when they put into... the Constitution, you know, freedom of religion. Their definition of religion was action.
Right.
And
that's my definition.
Now we've said, well, you have the freedom of religion, all right. You can believe whatever you want. Okay. And,
yeah.
You know, they try to separate your beliefs from your actions. But if you truly believe a thing, you will act on it. So, you know, they're really, you know, even though they try to change the definition to what you believe, it's still really the same definition. It's just, they're distracting us. So, you know, ultimately, it doesn't matter what you believe, what you say you believe in, it's what you do. It determines what your religion.
Action speaks louder than words.
Yeah.
Yep. That's been my motto for a long time.
Yep. I hear Jeannie kind of chuckling in the background, I think.
Yeah, it's me.
She's trying to figure us out.
I'm waiting for you to break out in song.
It's the most remarkable word I've ever seen. Yeah.
This kid was raised on too much Sesame Street.
I watched Sesame Street a lot.
Mine was Captain Kangaroo. Mine was Captain Kangaroo.
Captain Kangaroo.
You know, Captain Kangaroo was the longest running television series in history.
Was it really?
Yes, it was. As a matter of fact,
wow.
I think it ran all the way up into the 80s. And then they're redoing it.
Whoa.
And now they're redoing it.
Yeah. I watched Captain Kangaroo when I was a kid, too. And I'm still in diapers. I'm still wet behind the ears.
Ew, that's a sticky one. Dear, you change it.
Right.
I gotta get that image out of my head now.
Demented Dungeons and Dragons.com.
Demented.
Somehow I don't think she's picturing a baby in the diaper.
A dragon.
The short black
anyway. Yeah, my diaper days are over.
Oh, no.
But anyhow.
Not the mama. Not the mama. Oh, no.
No.
Oh, no.
So if God said in the Bible La vida loca.
No, I don't think you'll find that anywhere in scripture.
What, la vida loca?
I don't think so.
All right, so.
Okay, I'll try to quit.
It's all good. Hakuna Matata. So, okay, if everyone is going to be saved, but, you know, say there's evil people in this world that obviously is not going to heaven because whatever your belief is as far as bad people and what people do. Does the Bible talk about reincarnation?
You know?
And also, we got to consider
a good question, because there was reference to certain people filling the positions of certain other people that were supposed to come and do certain things. You know, I'm trying to think of a good example.
And then there's the other books of the Bible that are missing from the regular Bible.
Oh, yeah. Oh, shoot. Yeah, along comes Council of Nicaea. Everybody who riles against the Catholic Church, all right, uses basically the Catholic Bible. And they'll hate hearing that. Like, oh, no, we use the King James. Well, what is the King James based on?
Right.
It was based on what the Catholic Church allowed to be in scriptures. You know, they came along, was it 300 A.D., and made all these priests swear an oath that they believed a certain thing, and then they went and sorted through all the documents and basically tossed out anything that didn't agree with what they swore an oath to believe.
Wow.
And so what we're left with is what kind of indicates that their belief was correct.
Right, a lot of them were destroyed, burned. We probably only have record of maybe 200 and some odd books that are still out there that didn't get destroyed, but only like 62 of them are still in the Bible. And now they're trying to get rid of the Old Testament and just go with the New Testament.
Well, yeah, that's kind of weird, but, you know. It's bad enough you're reading scriptures and it talks about the book of Jasher and makes references to the book of Enoch and Christ even is quoted as saying a certain thing with scripture, but if you search the scriptures, I wish I could remember exactly what he said, but if you search the scriptures, you can't find it anywhere in what we're given. And yet he said it was fully writ.
Right. So,
what do you do with that? And somebody tried to say, oh, you Book of Mormon people, you've got stuff referred to in your Book of Mormon that's not even in there. And they said, well, you do too. You got a bunch of stuff in your Bible that's mentioned that's not in there. And so they compiled this nice list of about 60 different items in Scripture where we no longer have access to the things they're referred to.
Mm.
And some of those are things like the Book of Jasher and the Chronicle of the Kings and that kind of stuff. You know, various things that were quoted. Shoot, some people tell me, well, you can't go outside of Scripture to interpret Scripture. And I go, really? What about kicking at the goats? Supposedly, was it Paul? They asked him why, you know, Jesus basically asked him in a vision, you know, why are you kicking at the goats? You know, and that was actually, to understand that accurately, you got to get a hold of popular poetry from that time period. It was a piece of Hebrew poetry that had that phrase in it. You know, it was pop culture at the time. You know, so Christ, after his death, was quoting pop culture in scriptures. So.
Pop culture? That didn't even come out till the 90s.
Well, yeah. That dates you. Grab one of these teeny boppers on the street and they say, pop culture, that didn't start until 2010.
Yeah.
All right.
So I remember you saying something previously about Jesus having a book that he wrote as well.
A what?
A book. You know, like the Book of Enoch, Book of Mary.
Oh, well, supposedly, and I haven't gotten a hold of it, but I've been looking for it. Supposedly, the Buddhists have some documents written by the Buddha Isa, or something like that. And that's their way of saying Jesus. And I've been trying to track it down. And it kind of makes sense, though. I mean, if he, you know, thought it was important that we know certain things, don't you think he'd write it down, or at the very least get a scribe to write it down, first-hand knowledge, instead of these people who came along, you know, 30, 40 years after his death to start writing things down? I mean,
right.
Those people had no first-hand knowledge of what happened. So we have no first-hand documentation from Jesus.
What was the scripture again? Buddha what?
Oh, well, yeah, it was writings by the Buddha. I'm probably murdering the name, but it is Isa or Isu or something like that. You know, and it's part of the reason why I'm probably having a hard time tracking it down. But it was something that I heard of once, and you know, they try to tell us that Christ only traveled a certain small circle around his hometown. But if you track it down, you know, apparently his uncle was Joseph of Arimathea, and at the time period, that man was the richest man on the planet, or at least one of the richest men on the planet. So you'd think his nephew would have a few perks, you know?
Right.
Might to travel once in a while. It certainly would explain why every time he wanted a boat, he had one.
Yeah.
You know, think that over. Every time he wanted to cross the Red Sea, no trouble renting a boat to go across.
Right.
Yeah. Him and his disciples, anytime they wanted to cross the Red Sea, boom, they had a boat, you know? They at least require some pocket change. You know? Now, maybe Jesus was walking around with a hammer and a wood chisel and a plane and doing carpentry work for people and earning money in order to be able to do that stuff, but, you know, somehow that didn't get mentioned. So,
Jesus,
I don't know.
Magic.
Yeah. Must have been, because all you had to do is call on the magic name of Jesus and be saved. So yeah, you must have been.
Isa. Isa.
You found it.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I'm the Google
trick
master.
Is, oh, well, see, even if you find reference to that particular, because they refer to him as a Buddha.
Right.
You know, anybody who had wise teachings, they refer to it as a Buddha. All right? And so, if you know, I've found references to it. I just can't find it. I want to find the actual writings. You know?
Right.
So, and probably what I have to do is track down the references again and buy me a ticket and head that way.
Yeah, but you got to get a New World Order identification before you can do that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. If I to Google the Book of Isa, I get Isaiah.
Isaiah? No, that'd be somebody else.
Oh, yes, correct. Oh, here's one. Referring to it's in Isaiah 2. So I gotta do some more in-depth research myself, but it looks like
it's definitely something I wanna find. So anybody who's listening to this podcast, you know, sometime in the far distant future, if you know where I can lay my hands on a copy of those manuscripts, hey! Might be 10, 20 years from now, but I'll probably still be searching.
Yeah. But Jesus had different names besides Isa, didn't he?
Tucker, that's too loud.
I love spell checker. See if I can find it myself. Basically, spell Jesus with an I instead of a J. I'll probably get it.
Ah. There it is. I-E-S-U-S.
Oh, wow, this is neat. Found a website where they're saying that Jesus and Buddha were one and the same.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, I have already seen that. And who knows, but I doubt it. There you go. That'll open doors for new enlightenment.
Yeah, see, I'm not seeing any reference to what I was looking for. There's a lot of things comparing Buddha and Jesus, but I used to have the right spelling for them. That doesn't quite look right. It's been a while since I've looked for this.
Well, I'll be doing some research, too, and looking for that. Because now I'm intrigued. Yeah, I'll get a lot of crap over that.
Yeah, you will.
I already get crap over the fact that I try to educate people that Jesus wasn't born in December.
No, I think you're right about being roughly September.
Yeah. Oh, my mother has a hissy whenever I even mention it.
Well, it makes the difference between are you worshiping the Son of God, or are you worshiping the Son as God?
Well, and it's not even that. I mean,
because December 25th is the Son as God. S-U-N.
Right, the sun worshippers, which is part of the pagan practice, which Christmas is full of paganism.
Right.
But, you know, I don't know. I have mixed feelings on the whole subject, but, you know, if people are getting into the spirit of Christmas because they're getting into the spirit of Christ, that should say something, you know, because it's all about, it's more about what's in your heart than what's in the flesh.
I can agree with
but,
that.
Yeah. you can't totally condemn Christians for celebrating Christmas, but at the same time, if they're celebrating it with awareness and they know and they're not participating in the pagan practices, and they're brainwashed to think that, oh, it's when we celebrate Jesus' birthday, whether he was born this day or not, and they actually celebrate it and not the other garbage, then you can say, okay, I accept your excuses because you're doing it for the right reason. Or whatever you want to call it. But yeah, I just pretty much rather not participate myself. But, you know, my ex, she loved Christmas. She just, it was like one of her favorite holidays. But because I didn't practice it, it created problems. Even though I didn't practice it before we got together and she knew it. She expected me to convert to her ways, and I didn't, and it created problems. So we were not equally yoked.
Right.
Yeah, we were equally yoked in a lot of ways, just not that way. But I didn't like Christmas mostly. Meh. I've known about the whole pagan thing for, I don't know, almost 20 years at least, you know. But the more I progressed in the business world and the more, you know, I became conscious with corruption and society, I just see, you know, the greed and the corruption that's woven deep inside the whole Christmas whatever. I mean, it's getting into everything else too, Easter, even Valentine's Day. But, I mean... That one's coming up. I like Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day is probably one of my favorite days. Holidays, Valentine's Day and Thanksgiving because you get to eat. But,
Turkey Day!
Turkey Day!
Poor turkey.
I can't do this anymore since I now eat kosher, but on Easter I used to eat rabbit. Why not? You eat turkeys on Thanksgiving, right?
Yeah.
So why not Easter Bunny on Easter?
Easter Bunny on Easter.
Right.
Yeah.
What do you eat at Christmas?
Reindeer?
Reindeer?
Hey, there you go.
Yeah. That's funny. Santa's missing a reindeer. Oh, jeez.
Just don't aim straight for the red nose. Aim slightly behind.
I better take the red nose off my truck. Somebody bleeped out. I think David lost signal or his battery died.
Oh, really? Probably his battery died.
Probably.
That dang Easter Bunny was popping through the yard, pooping all over it, so I shot it, and we're having it for dinner.
Ba-da-bing!
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Man, you guys bring up stuff. I'm like, wow.
David's back. Me think.
ISIS instead of Jesus?
Oh, my.
Well,
I must have offended
ISIS.
Somebody. I got booted.
You got
we
booted.
Kicked you off.
I got booted. I must have offended somebody.
Well, no, it's not ISIS.
Well, welcome back.
Yes. Welcome to the DD&D podcast, where we demented DungeonsandDragons.com, where we talk about everything.
Oh, yeah, I finally made it. Yay!
Yeah. Oh, well, we didn't talk about Mia McCoital.
Mia what?
Mia McCoital. Mia McCoital is the great. That's my God. Mia McCoital.
Now, wait. We can't reference those movies because this is like, you know, children-friendly programming, and there's no way we can encourage anybody to watch that series of movies.
True that. Well, I wouldn't say that it's children-friendly. But this one's more children-friendly than, say, our second one. I had to put on the website that our second podcast was, like, not appropriate for children.
Oh, dang it, I missed it.
Do we use some inappropriate language?
Oh, yeah, Prepper Girl. She went off her deep end on our second podcast. Yeah, it was hilarious, and it actually made for a good podcast, though. But
cool. Oh, the subject matter. Not actually bad language, but the actual subject matter.
What was it? The language was inappropriate, too, but, yeah, she just, you know, she's cool. She's very passionate about things, and it shows when she really gets her vocal cords going. Oh, man, yeah, she was not, she's talking about Trump and, what is her name? Bianca, whatever his wife's name is. And supposedly she does porn, or she used to do porn or something.
Uh-huh.
And I did some homework, and I really couldn't find anything. I mean, there's people out there with her name, using her name, posing for porn and doing porn videos stuff. But, you know, I compared the faces and you know, there's some similarities, but it doesn't really look like it's the same person. So I think maybe she's got her facts straight, maybe she doesn't, or maybe they're half right. But oh man, she just went. She just went all over the place with that one. But it made a good podcast. It made a good podcast. And listening to it afterwards, it was hilarious. You have to go back and listen to it. It's the second week of January in our archives. It was a good podcast.
Now, kiddies, really don't go back and listen to it. Only let your mom and dad do it.
True that. You must be 18 or older to listen to our second podcast.
Oh.
But anyways, I put
now,
on.
Now, Jeannie, you are 18 or older, right?
Just a smidge.
Just a smidge, okay. Just barely.
She just graduated. She just graduated.
From the School of Hard Knocks?
Yeah.
Yeah. She's got her working woman's PhD.
Uh-huh.
Not that kind of working woman.
I was like, uh-oh.
Uh-oh. No, she was a truck driver.
I got to zip my lip now.
She's on the other side of the cab door.
That's still not coming out right.
Yeah. Okay. Never mind. Chuck them up. Roll on highway. Roll on through. So anyways. Yeah. So ISA, not ISIS. ISIS actually is a Greek goddess. Am I correct?
ISIS?
Yes.
I believe you're correct. Greek.
No,
or
Egyptian. Egyptian.
Oh, ISIS. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
I let everybody down.
The goddess ISIS. Yeah, Egyptian. Yeah, so, yeah, I don't, we're not going to go on that subject right now. We can stick with the goddess subject. But, yeah, she was an Egyptian god. That's religion. So it's down a religious subject. Let's see here. Isis was the first daughter of Geb, god of the earth. And nuts. So he was nuts. Goddess of
Newt.
Sky. Newt.
Yeah.
Newt.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Okay. So he was god of the earth. Newt. Goddess of the sky, and she, okay. Wait a minute. Oh, okay. Newt was her mother. Got it. So Isis.
She was born in the sky. Who was her father?
Isis was the daughter of Geb and Newt. Geb was the god of earth, and Newt was the goddess of the sky.
Okay.
Right.
So she is a daughter of both heaven and earth.
Correct. And she married her brother. Hey, incest is best when you keep it in the family.
What?
She's starting to sound like Ishtar.
Osiris. That name sounds familiar. Her brother was Osiris. She married Osiris.
Why is she marrying her brother?
Conceived Horus. Yeah. Hey, incest is best when you keep it in the family.
Not right.
Instrumental in the resurrection of Osiris when he was murdered by Set. Whoever Set is.
Your brother. Oh, geez.
Yeah. Well, actually, you know, that happens in royalty a lot.
Oh, because they wanted to keep the royal bloodline?
Right.
Well, if you marry outside the family, you dilute the family fortune.
Oh. Wow.
So, by keeping it in the family, you keep the fortune in the family, too.
Oh, God. I couldn't even think of that.
Right.
Oh, heck no.
So, yeah, that's Isis. Jesus, if you basically change the J to an I, that's basically where we were going with that. So it's... So maybe that would be the correct spelling of Jesus. Isus.
Well, our modern rendering of the name as Jesus comes almost directly from the Greek. And I guess it was it Yeshua in Hebrew. But, you know, because of Greek grammar rules and stuff like that, it was severely altered. I can't exactly say, right off the top of my head, I can't say it exactly, but it sounds pretty close to Jesus if you read it in Greek.
Oh, okay.
Hmm. Wow.
But for those who think the name, the actual pronunciation of the name is important, it's probably Yeshua.
Wow.
So. You believe in Jesus? No, I don't believe in Jesus. I do believe in Yeshua.
Yeah, happy Sabbath, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, here I am on the radio, working.
This isn't working. We're not getting paid.
Well, see, that's something I never did understand either, is that, well, I would hear that Jesus was Jewish, but then there
right.
are all these different religions, like Catholic and Baptist and all that, and I'm like, well, if he was Jewish, why isn't everybody following the Jewish religion?
Yeah. Then you got the Jews for Jesus. What about them?
The what?
Then you got the Jews for Jesus, because the Jews didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah.
Oh.
Well, 12 of them did.
Mm. True. 12 did.
At least, you know.
At least, yeah. Well, yeah, there were a lot that did, but, you know, there was a lot that didn't. And so the Judaism religion continued in the faith that Jesus was not the Messiah, and they were still waiting for their Messiah. But that was mostly because they thought that Jesus was going to come and rescue them.
Right, he's going to rescue them from the Romans defeat them. And actually, there was a man, I think, two or three decades before Jesus made the scene, who really kicked ass on Rome. And they were pretty sure he was the Messiah. But he didn't last too long. The Romans reinforced their troops and came back and just decimated the heck out of them. So.
Right. Yeah, like I said, most of the Jews rejected Jesus.
I found a psychic who found the holy spiritual soul of Jesus in spiritual writings. They transcribed what the spirit of Jesus told them. Yeah, that's not what I'm looking for.
Yeah, that's kind of like the...
I'm looking for writings that were written by Jesus with his own hand, or at the very least, dictated to his own scribe, you know.
Right.
Hey, kid, follow me. Write down everything I say, you know.
Follow me. Grab a pen.
Oh, here's a gospel of Jesus' wife on papyrus. I never heard of that one before. Yeah, supposedly. We'll have to find out.
The book
they might
Mary.
Say it was somebody else.
Right.
Oh,
I was watching some documentary one time where they was talking that in the picture where they have all the disciples, like, the at the table drinking the wine and eating.
Oh, the Last Supper.
Yeah, the Last Supper. That one of them, they think was actually a woman.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of stuff on that.
Had red hair.
Yeah, the one that's holding his hand. Yeah, the one that's holding his hand.
Yeah,
turned away from him, but he's
like
got her.
His girlfriend.
Well, his wife, Mary Magdalene, is Mary Magdalene is known or is to be said to be or to had been Jesus' wife.
Oh.
Well, she also supposedly wrote a gospel.
Yeah, the Book of Mary.
But that had to be thrown out because it kind of uplifted women. And
we can't have that.
And one of the ways to make people turn away from even reading it, well, there's several Marys in Scripture, several of them, and one of them was a prostitute. Wasn't Mary Magdalene, though.
Yeah.
But they made Mary Magdalene to be a prostitute. And it was an easy confusion to create. You know.
And even if she was, Jesus said, go and sin no more. And if she went and sinned no more, then it didn't matter if she was a prostitute.
Right.
Because, you know, if she became one of his disciples, which that was another thing that they don't want to talk about, that she was actually his 13th disciple. And,
I don't know, I only counted 12 at that table.
Okay, well, maybe she was one of the 12 and they just stuck somebody else's name in there. I don't know.
You know, when Leonardo da Vinci was commissioned to paint the scene while, you know, they were sitting at the table, he only painted in Jesus and 12 disciples.
Right. So anyways...
Isn't anybody going to correct me for my... never mind.
Well, I don't know. I got to go Google it and count it.
I don't think Leonardo da Vinci was even born when they sat down at the table. So what he painted was purely out of his own mind.
After.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry. You haven't gotten out of your diapers yet, so you don't know anything.
Google Gaga. Well, yeah. I mean, it's obvious that the woman sitting next to him is a woman. And the guy sitting next to her almost looks like our friend... starts with a J. J.D.
Oh. Trickmeister.
Something. Yeah.
Yes.
No, not that guy. The other J.D.
Oh. Oh? Okay. I'm confused.
Oh.
That's easy to do.
Yeah. He's slow. He's Virgo. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 7, 8, 9. Yeah, there's 12 disciples. But yeah, okay.
Yes. A painting, though, made centuries later does not make for historical fact, though.
True that.
It does make for interesting questions.
Yeah, because it looks like there's a rubber bouncy ball on the table, and I don't think they had rubber bouncy balls back then. I'm just kidding. It could have been a tomato.
Tomato.
Yeah. So, okay. So, Book of Jesus, Book of Mary. Jesus may have been married to Mary Magdalene. There's a lot of things that we don't know. But what we got to focus on is what's important. And what's important is doing what's right because it's right.
Yes, do what's right because it's right. Wait, do what's right when it's right because it's right. I think I got that right.
Right. The definition of true heaven on earth is everybody doing the right things. Doing the right things for themselves, doing the right things for each other, because it's just the right thing to do.
Right, whether you believe or not.
Right. You know, one person said that, you know, giving, there is a most powerful energy, I guess you could say, around giving. Even atheists know this, you know, like, and they use Bill Gates as an example because Bill Gates doesn't believe in God. Bill Gates is one of the biggest, yeah. Yeah, he's definitely an atheist. I'm not sure what he actually believes in, but he doesn't believe in God. But he's a big giver. He's a very big contributor to a lot of, you know, donations, organizations, whatever. I mean, he just gives money away like
he's a philanthropist.
Yeah. But, you know, he understands the power of giving, and the more he gives, the more he receives, and the Bible talks about that. And, of course, Bill Gates probably has other agendas and other powers to be, but he's just an example. But there's other people, you know, of other faiths who are not in the pockets of the New World Order. And I'm not saying that Bill is, but, you know, Google definitely is. I like Google, sort of, but I hate Google, sort of. So, but Google's definitely in the pockets of the New World Order, you know. But that's not the subject. The subject is giving, you know. It's a universal fact that if you're the more you give, the more you'll receive. But maybe not so much. It's not so much the fact that you just give. It's more the way you give. You know, it's like you give people hand ups, not handouts. You know, David and I had a little bit of a debate the other day because we were being offered something for free, and something that we will use for our, you know, use on the land, but also something that we could probably turn around and recycle and sell. Make a profit on to support the farm and support our families. David wanted to offer the solution to the guy who was giving us the product for free. And I was like, you know, we don't want to cut our own throats.
That's not exactly what I was saying. I was suggesting that we work together to both make a profit. So if he goes out, if he goes out and finds more brick for me to clean, you know, if he's receiving some money, he'll have incentive to bring me more bricks.
Right.
Whereas if he just brings me the bricks he's trying to get rid of, he doesn't have any more incentive other than to get rid of the bricks.
True. And we'd have to iron out the details.
May
of
not
that.
Bring no more.
But I was more concerned, you know, I was thinking, you know, we don't want to give away, you know, too much. You know, David and I are givers. You know, we tend to give more, you know, too much and get too
And so you probably assumed that I was giving it all away.
Well, not necessarily that. You're opening up the opportunity for someone to take advantage of us.
Well, I was opening up an opportunity for profit sharing.
And that's fine, and that's groovy, and I'm all for that. But we got to make sure that we're profit sharing with the right people, because people like Jeff Dietrich will stab us in the back. You know what I mean? So we got to look out for our families, even though we don't really have any families yet. On land, we're both looking to build our land up and working towards having our families there. And you know, we gotta think about our future and just taking care of our families. But giving is good. And I'm not knocking giving, because giving is a good thing. But we have to discern on what is giving wisely and what is giving foolishly. And I just know that, you know, David and I both tend to be too nice and too giving. And we open ourselves up to being taken advantage of. Nice people tend to do that.
That kind of sounds familiar to me.
Yeah. So, it's like, how do you give properly? You know?
I don't know, because I have not accomplished that yet.
Right.
Well, you don't give handouts, but you do give hands up.
Right, and you give hand-ups to people who are not crooked.
Right, and I said that wrong, but you still got it, I'm sure.
Yeah, but the guy that we're speaking of, he doesn't seem to be crooked. We just don't know him all that well yet.
True enough, and I may have been jumping the gun.
Right, and I think that's basically what I was trying to get at, was let's not jump the gun. But yeah, I was just using that as an example. You know, I don't know. You can't be greedy, but you can't give too much and get taken advantage of. It's kind of like honesty. Somebody just clicked in.
Say hello, Joe.
Hello, Joe.
Hello, Joe. Joe, Mama is in the house.
Mama.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, we got Jeannie with her.
Hi, Joe.
Oh, looks like somebody's about to say hi to me here.
Is this the lady with the dog who got bit by a snake?
No.
No.
Okay.
She is the snake.
I use the snake.
She's what?
I'm just kidding.
She's wrong, huh? Man, I didn't know that was going to be such a comical joke. I would expect you to laugh out of that deal.
Everything's funny to me, man.
Do what?
Now, Jeannie, she's a laugher. She laughs at almost everything.
Yeah.
Jeannie does?
Jeannie, yeah. Which is cool. She's good at lightening the spirits, for sure.
Okay, what state is she from?
The state of laughter.
The state of misery.
She's a
miserable
also.
She's a miserable person right now, but
she's from a miserable state, so she's from the state of misery.
Yeah.
I'm from Alabama right now. I don't have that southern draw going on quite yet, but I'm working on it.
Yes, come back now. Yeah.
Roll tide, roll. Anybody know what that means? Roll tide, roll.
No.
They say down here in Alabama, they don't live football. They breathe football. And when the Alabama college football team's playing, it's Roll Tide Roll. That's their motto. You don't know that?
Yeah.
Uh-uh.
You guys need to get out of state once in a while.
We do.
It's really rough. It was probably like 55 or 60 degrees down here today. Really rough weather down here.
Oh, dang, I think we need to go down there.
Yeah, I think it's probably going to get down to 40 tonight here. It's going to get cold tonight.
It's going to get cold.
Hey, I was just wondering if anybody went by and seen if my light was still on at the house.
It is.
Okay. Because I need to pay the electric bill. I've been out of town for a while. I know this is a conference call and all this and that, but that's what I want to get a hold of you about. What's the conversation topic tonight? Just life.
And this is why I call you Joe Mama instead of, you know, whatever other name you might be called by.
Yeah, don't call me, just as long as you don't call me Joe Obama.
Joe Obama.
No.
I wouldn't answer that one. So any interesting conversations going? Has this podcast been going on for an hour and a half?
An hour and 45 minutes.
Wow, you've been talking about nothing for an hour and 45 minutes? You guys are talented.
Every week.
Hey, at least we got callers this time. Normally it's just the two of us. Boring.
Yeah, we already know what we're going to talk about. We don't know what you're going to talk about.
Well, did you know that China bought Chicago stock brokerage, the oldest stock brokerage, whatever? Did you know China made an acquisition and bought that?
Huh.
The Chicago Stock Exchange, they purchased it. They might have purchased it in last summer, June or July of 2015. They're the investments in America from China. I don't know why. They're trying to take over from the inside, I guess.
Taking over! Yeah. Well,
when you got a bad investment, you either dump the investment or you invest deeper. So, obviously, they
right.
chose to invest deeper.
Right. Well, there's a lot of land over here. We got almost as much land as China does, don't we? Or we got more land than China?
We got more than China. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I don't remember what it is. I think 16.
Pick up that, yeah.
Well, even if they didn't completely push us off the continent, they still could double the amount of land for all their citizens by, you know, shipping half of them over here.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Look, you know, look, for those people that like Asian women, it would be a positive thing for you. You wouldn't have to shop overseas. You could shop right here in America because there'd be an abundance of them there.
There you go.
So,
they'd probably just ship all the dudes over here. That'd be your
what?
Luck. I said they'd probably only ship all the dudes over here. That would be your luck.
The Jews?
That would probably be what they would do, seeing as they have that one-child policy. And
right.
So they tend to abort the females. So they do have a heavy male population as a result.
So he's saying they send all the males over here?
Yeah,
it'd be most guys coming over.
Well, we just have to put a policy in effect for every man you send. You got to send three women.
Right.
Then we'd have to. We're being discriminated against because if you're an Islamic person in the United States, you're allowed to have more than one wife. But as an American citizen, we're not allowed to. You know, if you're a Christian citizen, that's discrimination.
Well, actually, I used to be poly, and I followed, you know, the FLDS quite a bit. And they actually have been able to you know, get away with having plural wives under the First Amendment. The only time that, you know, for quite a while. So you can actually get away with it, you know, as a white person or whatever, as long as it's, you know, protected by your religion. Now, the only time that they go after the FLDS is when they get out of control, like Warren Jeffs, you know, doing stupid crap, or, you know, like sister wives going public saying, hey, look at us. We have more than, I have more than one wife. I have more than one wife. And they went after them because they went on public television, you know. But before then, they didn't, you know, they weren't bothering them. As long as they're not breaking any laws, they can't touch you. Or if you have more than one wife, as long as you're not breaking any other laws, which is practically impossible anyways. But, I mean, you know, if you're not breaking any other laws, they can't go after you. They can't go after you for the plural marriage. They can only go after you for the other things that you're doing wrong. But they'll use that as an excuse to go after you.
Right.
But you're protected under their First Amendment rights. So, yeah. I've studied that big time.
Okay.
So, yeah, you can have more than one wife if you want. You just have to make sure your religion protects you.
Well, we don't have that protection under Christianity. King Solomon had 300 wives and 700 concubines, but we're not allowed to.
Actually, you can, because, you know, there is biblical polygamy. I mean, there are polygamists in the Bible. The Bible does not say you have to be poly, and it does not say you have to be mono. The Bible, you know, clearly says that there are people in there that are polygamous, and there are people in there that are monogamous. It doesn't say that you have to be either way.
Huh. Well, that's good to know for future reference.
Yeah.
Yeah. In case I want to have a dozen wives, I know how to go about that now.
As long as you do it respectfully, and as long as, you know, it's consenting with all the adults, hey, more power to you.
Well, if I can find a job making $1 million a year, then I might consider having 10 wives.
Yeah, I could see having more than two myself, but that's just
two?
Me.
Yeah. Two, you'd have to make over $100,000 a year to take care of two wives. That's
hey, did I miss a podcast or something?
Do I what?
David bleeped out. He lost the signal or battery, one of the two.
I got booted again.
I guess if you have enough land, you could go ahead and
you
farm
the
your own
David
crops.
Back now.
Right, yeah. You can farm your own crops and everything. If you got enough land, you can raise your own, live off the grid, take care of everything on your own. You can, well, 10 wives might be beneficial because you'd have more people to rake and hoe with, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, most every poly family that I know, they all work. You know, very few of them have one person who's so successful they can support the rest. So most every poly family, most all of them work. Usually one or two people will stay home and take care of the house. But most everybody in a family relationship usually works.
Okay. Well, hey, David, you can give me a call later if you want. I'm not working tonight. I've been sick the last couple of days, so I just want to say I'm going to get off and eat. My boy fixed some food in the microwave, so we're going to eat dinner now. So we're working nights down here in Alabama.
Yeah, I understood you were working weird hours, so I've tried not to bug you too much.
Well, I didn't work last night or tonight, so I'll be up till 6 a.m. probably because we've got to go in and work Saturday, so we're just keeping a night routine. We took off yesterday. I went to the doctor, and I didn't feel like going back in today either, so I took off another day. Kind of hate to do that. I'm losing money to do that, but I'm feeling pretty bad, so all congested and stuff. Anyway, okay, God bless everybody. I'll talk to you all later, okay?
Hey, before you take off, there is a couple exceptions to what I just said. In the Bible, it does say that if you're going to be a deacon or a bishop in the church, then you are only supposed to have one wife.
Wow.
If you're what?
a deacon or a bishop, basically if you're head of the church, then you're only allowed to have one wife.
Oh, that ain't gonna happen. I'm going
to do much. Yeah, God doesn't want the people who are head of the church to be distracted.
Right.
You know, from their gospel. You know, their job. And their job is, you know, the church, to be married to the church, and they can't have too many wives distracting them from their churchly duties.
Right. Okay. Well, I'll talk with you later. Y'all take care. Have a good weekend. God bless.
You too.
All right.
Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye. What was her name again?
Jeannie.
Okay. Nice to meet you, Jeannie.
Nice meeting you, too. You get better.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
I'll talk to you later, Joe.
Okay. Bye-bye, Dave.
Okay. The correct spelling for, and this is probably why I couldn't find it, because I had the wrong title. It wasn't the Buddha Isa, is the Bodhisattva Isa, and that's I-S-S-A.
I-S-S-A.
Yeah.
How do you spell the first part? Booth what?
Bodhisattva. B-O-D-H-I-S-A-T-T-V-A.
Got it. Okay, cool. Well, at least that'll give me something to look up or look into and give our listeners something to look into if they want to go check it out. Bodhisattva.
And then Jesus is I-S-S-A instead of how we spell it.
Right. Saint I-S-S-A.
Yeah, that comes up too a lot. I'm not sure if that's the same person or not.
Yeah. So that's worth looking into too. Saint I-S-S-A, S-T dot I-S-S-A. Because that's what I got on my second search. But, yeah. All right, well, we're already at 2 minutes. You want to go ahead and do the Ron Paul recording so we can squeeze him in?
All right.
Two hours. I keep doing that. Why do I keep doing that? All right.
Man, time flies when you're having fun. Oh.
That's true. It doesn't seem like no 2 hours.
That last podcast, though, man.
Yeah.
So what are we going to talk about? I don't know. I don't know either. How about you? I got nothing.
Passage of Senator Mitch McConnell's authorization for war against ISIS will not only lead to perpetual U.S. wars across the globe, it will also endanger our civil and economic liberties. The measure allows the president to place troops anywhere he determines ISIS is operating. Therefore, it could be used to justify using military force against United States citizens on U.S. territory. It may even be used to justify imposing martial law in America. The president does not have to deploy troops to turn America into a militarized police state, however. He can use his unlimited authority to expand programs that turn local police forces into adjuncts of the U.S. military and send them increasing amounts of military equipment. Using the threat of ISIS to justify increased police militarization will be enthusiastically supported by police unions, local officials, and, of course, politically powerful defense contractors. The only opposition will come from citizens whose rights have been violated by a militarized police force that views the police as the enemy. Even though there is no evidence that the government's mass surveillance programs have prevented even a single terrorist attack, we are still continuously lectured about how we must sacrifice our liberty for security. The cries for the government to take more of our privacy will grow louder as the war party and its allies in the Middle East continue to hype the threat of terrorism. A president armed with the authority to do whatever it takes to stop ISIS will no doubt heed these calls for new restrictions on our privacy. Following last year's mass shooting in California, President Obama called for restricting the Second Amendment rights of any American on the terrorist watch list. The president also used the attacks to expand the unconstitutional gun background checks system via executive order. Can anyone doubt that President Obama or a future anti-gun president will use the absolute power to do whatever is necessary to stop terrorism as a justification for imposing new gun control measures? Using the war on ISIS to justify more gun control will be particularly attractive since even many pro-gun politicians will support gun control measures if they are marketed as part of the war on terror. As the American economy faces continued stagnation and its challenges to the dollar status as the world's reserve currency mount, an increasingly authoritarian government will impose new restrictions on our economic activities and new limits on our financial privacy. In particular, our ability to move assets out of the country will be limited, and new reporting and other requirements will limit our ability to use cash without being treated as a criminal or a terrorist. Those who carry large amounts of cash will find themselves at increased risk of having the cash confiscated by government agents under civil asset forfeiture laws. If Senator McConnell's declaration of perpetual war passes, the president can use the war on ISIS as a justification to impose new restrictions on our use of cash and our financial privacy via executive order. After all, they will say, the government needs to make sure cash is not being used to support ISIS. The only way to protect both liberty and security is to stop trying to impose our will on other countries by military force. The resentment created by America's militaristic foreign policy is ISIS's most effective recruiting tool. Adopting a non-interventionist foreign policy that seeks peace and free trade with all would enable the government to counter legitimate threats to our safety without creating an authoritarian police state. Thanks for calling this update. A new update is placed on this number, 888-322-1414.
To repeat the announcement, press 1.
Click. Click, click, boom! Yeah, CES.
Yeah, oh my.
Secretary CES.
Wait a minute. We might be able to use CES to support ISIS.
Right. And you can't carry gold?
It's kind of funny that they're worried about us supporting ISIS, and ISIS is actually supported by them in the first place. It's their creation.
Yep.
Wag the dog.
Wag the dog. Brainwash the people. So, all right, well, we'll probably talk about that next week. Okay, so, all right, next week's agenda, what are we going to talk about?
I guess we'll have to roll that big 20-sided dice and find out.
What sided dice? 27-sided dice?
The 20-sided die. Come on.
Okie dokie. Well, yeah. That's why I like callers to call in, so we can talk about whatever they want to talk about.
Yes, please call us.
Please call us, because we
are... Please call us.
Yes. Well, we're definitely not boring. We're a bunch of goofballs. All right. So, yeah, stay tuned for our future and past podcasts at DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com, where we talk about everything but Dungeons & Dragons. And,
darn it.
Ding darn duty. And call in, pick a topic, roll the dice, whatever. We'll talk about anything and everything except pretty much Dungeons and Dragons. Because it's kind of boring.
It's a great game, but it's boring when people talk about it.
I've never played it.
You've never played it? Oh, my.
No, never.
Well, we won't discuss it.
You told me about killing so many orcs and whatchamacallit and blah, blah, blah.
That's why it's boring to listen to people talk about it. Hey, we're not supposed to be talking about
it. I might get hooked on it.
Like hooked on phonics.
Hey, it's
kind of like I kind of like playing.
I'm sure it's online now.
I thought we weren't supposed to discuss D&D on this program.
Well, we can give them publicity, I'm sure. I'm sure they don't care about giving them publicity.
There has been no video game that can match an actual D&D game. Because it's pure creativity when you're playing it. It's the hard part is getting people to actually sit down at the table and stop acting out physically their character's actions. So
really?
Hey, there is a D&D digital system.
It doesn't work that well. There are programs that assist the game. You know, it's, but there's no. You can't really play it online as effectively as you can on paper and pencil.
No, I googled digital D&D and it brought up a software company in Ames, Iowa called D&D Digital Systems.
There you go.
But no, actually there is Play D&D and Fantasy Ground Virtual Table. So there are, it is out there, but like you said, it's not as cool as playing it in real life. Which I wouldn't know, because I...
If you can call sitting in a dark room with paper in front of you and pencils and a whole pile of dice, if you can call that real life...
Right. Boring. Yeah, no, I remember when I was living in Oklahoma, this is like mid-80s, my girlfriend and I went over to this place and people were playing D&D there, and they tried to explain it to me and I just like fell asleep standing up.
Oh, wow.
I'm just kidding about falling. Literally, I just zoned out. I just like, this doesn't make any sense to me. I'm out of here.
The best way to describe it is you're writing a book, but you're writing a book as a committee. And there's one person who creates a world, and the rest of you create characters to interact with that world.
So you
and that's basically
all
the
kinds
game.
Of movie plots.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It'd be like the never-ending story.
Yeah, that's what it is. Except the difference is your typical book plot doesn't do each and every stroke of a fight individually. And
right.
D&D game does. You know, and you're rolling dice to see what the results are. And sometimes to keep the game interesting, it is the... Well, the name of the referee in Dungeons & Dragons is called the Dungeon Master, okay? He's the referee, okay? Just think referee. Well, anyway.
So are you playing this game by yourself, or do you have
people? You have optimum group of people is from 3 to about 7 people. But I've seen games where they've had... you know, 20 or more people at the game, and it's just chaos.
Chaos.
Everybody's speaking at once. oh, I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to do the other. Well, give me a second. Let me roll the dice for it.
Are you communicating through the phone, or are you on a computer?
You can do it that way, but you usually do it in person because nobody believes anybody's dice rolls unless they can see them. And sometimes it's the job of the dungeon master to lie about his own dice rolls, because sometimes he actually flat out kills everybody and is like, oops, I can't do that. That'd be the end of the story. So it's his job to lie to keep the game interesting.
Really?
He's like, and since it takes about an hour to roll up all the dice in order to generate a character in the first place, it's a real bummer if the whole group gets killed at once, because then they spend the next couple hours making new characters.
Wow.
Over.
Like,
wow.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
You just killed my 53rd level paladin. I've had him for years, and you murdered him.
Yeah, I'm a sadistic bastard. I'd be the dungeon master and kill everybody in one roll.
I can see Kano doing that. You're dead.
I actually did kill somebody's high-level paladin, and they were so upset. But I did it on purpose because I was going to have him play his character in the afterlife.
Yeah, it's our thing.
And he stormed off and walked away from the game.
Oh, boy.
Because I killed his paladin.
He was going to reincarnate him.
I was going to reincarnate him.
Goodness.
Oh, that sounds funny.
It's like you're playing in the sandbox and somebody steps on your sandcastle and you're upset that they destroyed this sandcastle you spent so much time working on. Well, it's just a pile of sand. Build another one. It's so many pencil marks on a sheet of paper. Come on. Don't take it personally.
Insanity.
Oh, wow.
Oh, but didn't that movie come out? Warcraft. There's a movie out for World of Warcraft.
Oh, God. They made a movie on that? Oh, no.
I actually am looking forward to seeing that.
Some of the worst books I've ever tried to read were based on D&D games.
Huh.
And there are hundreds of these books now. And they are horrible. They are the worst bits of fiction I've ever seen.
Wow.
Right.
You know, somebody literally transcribed their D&D games and then, you know, kind of smoothed it out a little bit to make it into a kind of an interesting story, but not with much success. D&D games are much more interesting when you're actually playing them. They are not interesting to be retold. Don't walk out and tell somebody how many orcs you killed the night before. Don't care. It's not interesting. Not even to a fellow D&D player.
All right. Thanks, Mickey.
I'd like to sit in and watch people play it.
Here we go. I found a BBC documentary. Jesus was a Buddhist monk.
Yeah, I'm sure you can Google D&D, Kansas City, D Kansas City, and find people Tent City area Dungeons and Dragons meetup group. There you go. There's a meetup group. Just go to meetup.com and you can sign up for a D&D group and go meet people and play D&D and whatever.
Wow.
And I bet you, you'll meet people your age they're playing.
There you go.
I remember once as a junior high student, my mom took me to Lamoni, Iowa, to the college there. And I spent the next 72 hours in the dorm lobby running a continuous D&D game. I didn't sleep at all. I was the one running the game. These college students were fascinated with the world I had created. And they came and went in shifts, and they kept me awake to run the game.
But you just make up stories, or
They've got rule books for this game, and, you know, there's some rule for just about any contingency that might come up. Somebody says they want their character to do this, that, or the other. There's some rule that's involved that where you'd compare the strength of the monster that they're going up against versus the power of their weapon and, you know, this, that, and the other, and you decide which dice to roll and what's the chances of hitting the monster and what's the chance of the monster hitting back and what kind of treasure you might find if you defeat a certain monster, you know, and this kind of stuff. And so I draw these elaborate maps and populate with all sorts of creatures and things like that, and they'd go out and explore the world and run into pitfalls and traps and all sorts of neat stuff. And I'm sure after 72 hours, I was so kind of out of it that all sorts of weird stuff was coming out of my mouth. So. I'm sure I got quite
cool
interesting.
Stuff.
Say what?
Damn, 72
That's when you
hours?
Created the most cool stuff.
Yeah.
Wow.
The movie Warcraft comes out June 10th.
Yeah, I won't be watching it.
I will.
I won't be watching that. My cousin will be watching it, guaranteed. I mean, she's a Warcraft fanatic. I think she maxed out the level of her character.
Wow.
And, you know, they put a ceiling on how high your character can go, how high a level it can go. And she maxed it out, and she still played faithfully every night, 6 to 8 hours a night.
So her character's now a god.
Well, there's a certain maximum level it can reach, you know, and so she did all this stuff so that her friends' parties, you know, because they join together in a party, and they go out on campaigns to conquer this, that, or the other, right? So since she can't go up any higher in level, there's really no point in her playing anymore. But she plays all the same to help her friends out.
Well, they have battles and stuff too in it, don't they?
They do. They do. Yeah. And then they use it's not Skype, but they've got something where you can actually, you got this headphone piece, and she'd be talking to these people around the world via this headphone piece on her head, you know, and you know, giving them military orders, literally. I mean, there might be something to be said for World of Warcraft. I mean, you certainly learn some battle strategies.
Yeah, I got a friend who's addicted to it. He's on it all the time. He tried to get me into it. I was like, it's cool to watch, but I can't get into it.
All right, I'll admit, I like to play the role-playing games, the I forget what it stands for, but they call it an MMO. It's a massive multiplayer online. Okay, that's what it means. It's a massive multiplayer online, and then RPG stands for role-playing game. All right? And there's several of them out there. They're free, and they're very good. All right? And some of them are actually as good as World of Warcraft. But the problem is, if you get World of Warcraft, first off, you paid $30 to get the game in the first place and install it on your computer. And then you pay $25 a month. And then you paid $25 a month to maintain your account. So after a couple of years, you've sunk several hundred dollars into your character. So you're not going to quit, because the month you quit, your character's erased. All right?
Wow.
Yep.
So, I mean, this is mental cocaine is what it is. All right?
Yeah.
Now, see, the ones you do for free?
Uh-huh.
I've erased characters and started from scratch. It doesn't bother me. It's like, oh, okay, I maxed out this one. Let's see, what can I do now? Okay, well, I'll erase that one and start a new one. Like, you know, it's kind of fun building it from scratch and going back up, you know? But you can't do that with World of Warcraft. You've put too much money into it.
Wow.
It, you know, and all it is really is just a paper doll. But it's not even that. It's made out of electron. You can't even hold it. At least a paper doll, you can hold it.
Right.
But after...
You can hold the CD at night.
Well, let me figure this out. Uh-huh. If you pay $25 a month to maintain your account, I don't know what it is now, but I think there was a time I bought World of Warcraft, and I took it back to the store. I wanted my money back. Because,
wow.
You know, to me, if you pay for the software, then there shouldn't have to be a subscription. But World of Warcraft, you pay for the software, and then you pay for the subscription.
Jeez.
And
maybe
that's
how they pay for the movie.
Yeah, probably.
Wow.
Right? If the movie isn't a complete and total bomb, I can only think of two reasons for that. One, it's all World of Warcraft devotees who went to it. And, you know, of course they're going to praise it because it's their game. Or the world is full of idiots.
Which I'm an idiot.
Both would be the case, actually. I can't imagine it being a good storyline. I mean, it'd be like listening to somebody tell me, I wiped out 1,000 orcs last night. And I got all this wonderful treasure. I got a Vulpur sword and a cloak of stealthfulness and a +5 warhammer it's like, dude, what in the world are you talking about?
Yeah, no. The movie, I watched the trailer on the movie, and it's not like that. It's actually a typical fantasy movie about, you know, the orcs and whatnot. But, you know, they're, if I remember correctly, I mean, I'm looking at the video now, but I'm not watching it. You know, it's like, I don't know what they are, orcs, I guess. They're fleeing one land, and they've come to the land of humans. And
oh, no.
They're battling the humans for land. And then, but they're also battling somebody else that they're basically running from. And they actually build an alliance with the humans to fight their real enemy. who actually ran them out of their own land. Or something. I don't know. It's got a storyline, but I don't remember exactly what it is. But I remember there's a big to-do about one of the breeds of whatevers taking sides with the humans. So, but that's how they win, and they preserve their lineage. Because otherwise they were going to be destroyed. So they did that to preserve their race and, you know, to protect their families. But I don't know. I don't know. I want to watch it, but just because I'm into movies like that, you know, fantasy type movies.
All right. But, well, I'll be waiting for your review, and I'll be laughing my head off if you say it was absolutely horrible.
Yeah, I'll probably like it because I'm an idiot.
I'm an idiot, and that's okay.
You idiot!
Don't explain it.
Yeah, I like to go off-road and scare the crap out of David.
Don't explain it.
Yeah, go ahead and explain it.
No, that must be a mystery. We must never explain that on this show.
All right, well, I won't explain that. But, yeah, I tend to scare the crap out of him with my driving. I mean, we're on the land, and he buckles up while we're on the land. It's like, dude, we're just going from one end of the property to the other. You don't need to buckle up. Oh, yeah, I do. You're driving.
He might hit a bump and roll through the roof.
It's just a field. You know, we're just driving through a field.
I don't know. Them fields can be pretty damn rough.
Oh, man. It's hilarious. Every time, almost, he buckles up when I'm driving. Doesn't matter if we're going 2 feet or 2 blocks. He buckles up. Oh, goodness. It's hilarious.
Oh, my. So to make my search even more difficult, apparently there is a Buddhist poet who took on the name Issa.
Ah.
So I'm running across a lot of his writings, but they're modern. And apparently he wrote a lot of haiku.
Haiku. All right, well, we're approaching 2.5 hours. And
right.
2.5 minutes. So we better end this now.
Okie dokie. We don't want to comment on any more on Ron Paul's. No, we pretty
well
covered, didn't we?
I mean, I wanted to squeeze him in, but we should probably squeeze him in at the hour or half hour mark from now on, instead of at the 2 hour mark.
Right.
But
use them for filler when we can't. When we don't know what to talk about, we'll use them for filler.
Well, that's why I like to start him out in the beginning. And in that way, we touch on what he talks about and then go on to the next subject.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, you know, a lot of people don't want to listen to Ron Paul. And they'll hear that and say, oh, I ain't listening to this crap. So who knows, whatever. Hakuna Matata.
Hakuna Matata.
2.5 hours, so. All right. Well, Jeannie, you'll have to call in next week. We'll talk about something else demented.
All right.
Okie dokie pokie.
Good night, folks.
Good night.
Good night. Have
so
a good night, everybody.
Farewell. Auf Wiedersehen. Goodbye. Yeah, no, don't quit my day job. Hey, you know why they sing that song, don't you?
So I don't have to.
So I don't
you remember. All right. We'll talk to you later. I'm going to go to bed.
All
All right.
Good night.
Everybody have a good night.
Night, bye-bye. John boy.
All right, bye.
Bye.